Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, text number 38. Astinak Paryatan Nasan Shayanak Praviban Bruvan Nanu Sandata Etani Govinda Parirambitaha Asina, while sitting, Paryantan, while walking, Asnan, while eating, Shayana, while lying down, Pariban, while drinking, Bruvan, while talking, Na, not anusandate nu etani, all these activities, Govinda, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the senses, Parirambitaha, being embraced. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Purport. A small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuating are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is exactly like a small child being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body are performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for the child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of the perfection in Krishna consciousness. Asina paryatan nashnan shayanak parpiban bruvan nanu sandata etani govinda parirambitaha. Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Being thus always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Krishna has different energies. One of them is called Lila Shakti, in which Krishna and his devotees enact Lila. The other is called Maya Shakti, by which the conditioned soul is engaged in material activities. Now, it appears that Prahlad Maharaj was unaware of how his activities were going on. And we're also unaware of how our activities are actually going on. The difference is that Prahlad Maharaj was in the spiritual energy and we're in the material energy. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manite tatvavit pashan sprishan grita Sprishan Grinan Mishani Minishanapi Indriyarandriyar. Actually, I got that wrong. Start over. Naiva Kinchet Karomiti Yukta Manyate Tatvavit Pashan Srinvan Sprishan Jigran Ashnanga Chansvapan Svasan Pralapan Vishrijan Grinan Mishani Minishanapi Indriyarandriyar Teshu Vartanta Iti Dharyan. The embodied soul, Naiva Kinchet Karomiti. Karomiti means to do. So apparently we're doing so many things. I just raise my hands. Clap, please clap. Naiva kinchit. Kinchit. Naiva, naeva, not certainly kinchit. Naiva kinchit. Karomiti. How is being done? Not certainly knows that is how things are being done. Naiva kinjit karomi yukta manita tattva. One who's actually connected with the Supreme and perform in the spiritual energy. Yukta, by devotional service. Manite tattvavit, with the tattvavit. One who knows the Supreme. So, one who knows the Supreme, actually, he knows, what does he know? Pashan. What does Pashan mean? For those who are Sanskrit scholars here, who want to learn at least one word in Sanskrit. What does Pashan mean? Well, I know you know. What does Pashan mean? Jagannath Sutra. Pashan.
To see,
yes. from the pillar came the word. Pashan Srinvan. Srinvitam Svakata Krishna. Srinvan. Yes, here. Good guess. Pashan Sprishan. Sprishan. We got three left. We have seeing, hearing. Yes, Sprishan. Pashan, Srinvan, Sprishan. Jigran. Very popular one. Jigran. Tasting, yes. Is that right? Smelling. Pashan, Srinvan, Srishan, Jigran, Ashnan, that's popular. Ashnan, eating. So, that's the tongue. So, we have seeing, we have hearing, we have smelling, we have eating, and what's left? Oh, touching, we have touching. Pashan, Srinvan, Srishan, Jigran, Ashnan, Gachan. Now we're up to Gachan. What is Gachan? Gachati. No, Gachati means to walk, to move. So now we have the knowledge acquiring senses. Now we're into the senses where the limbs for movement. Gachan. So we have Naiva Kinchet Kromiti Yukta Manite Tatvavind. Spashan Jigran Ashnan Gachan. Spashan Shinvan Jigran Ashnan Gachan. I'm getting myself confused here. Spashan Shinvan Spishan. Touching, jigran, smelling, ashnan, gachan, swapan. Something we do every night. Dreaming, swapan. Sprishan. So we have swapans, naivikin chet kromiti, yukta manite tatvavit. Pashan, Srinvan, Sprishan, Jignan, Ashnan, Gachan, Swapan, Sparshan. Dreaming, Swapan, and was Sparshan? Swasan. What's that?
Swasan.
Swasan.
Breathing.
Breathing, yes. Swasan. So we have all the senses covered there. The dreaming, the mind, and breathing. And then Naiva Kinchit Kuromiti Yukta Manite Tatvavit Pashan Srinvan Srishan Jigran Ashnan Gachan Swasan Swapnan. No. Swapnan Sparshan. Sparshan? Swasan. Swasan. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manite tatvavit pashan srinvan svishan jigran ashnanga chansvapan swasan. Prajalpa. What is that? Yeah, speaking. Pralapan vishijan grinan opening, accepting, and evacuating. So now we're getting into another one of the activities of the active senses. Pralapan Vishijan Rinan Umishan Umishanapi, opening and closing his eyes, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Naiva kinchet gromiti yuktamanyate tatvavet pashan shinvan sprishan jegran ashnanga chansvapan svasan pralapin vishijan grinan umishan imishanapi indriyan diarteshu vartanda iti darya. He knows that within himself that he actually does nothing at all, because while engaged in seeing and hearing and touching and smelling, while engaged in smelling, while eating, and achnanga chan, while going about walking, while breathing and dreaming, always knows within himself, because knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects, and that he's actually aloof from them. So that's good news. Everyone should be ecstatic. We should see everyone's hair standing on end. Or if you have no hair, at least you're Sika. To hear that actually we're not doing anything. Now, of course, you probably, our false ego wasn't very happy to hear that, because we think we're doing so many wonderful things. Not only we're doing so many wonderful things now, we're being trained to do even more wonderful things. But actually, anaditvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyayam sharira stopikantiya nakaroti nanalipyate. That those who can say with the eyes of knowledge can see that the soul is eternal and transcendental and beyond the modes of nature, despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is doing nothing, nor is he entangled. So we're actually doing nothing, and we're not even entangled. Nothing. We're better than Superman. Nothing can harm us. But we have a problem. Anyone know what the problem we have is? Anyone know what our problem is? No one knows what their problem is. That's a problem. It's bad enough having a problem, but we don't even know what it is. Yes, what is our problem? Ishvaraham aham bogi, Ishvaraham aham bogi, Siraham balavan suki. We think we're this body. We think we're doing so many things. We want to take so much credit. We're happy when everyone says how wonderful our activities are, and we depress when anyone criticizes them. Although they have nothing to do with ourselves, except for the fact that we're responsible for them. We're responsible in this sense, because we have the capacity to desire. We can choose what desires we choose that are coming through our mind. And we choose, like, I like that desire. We think about it, we feel about it, and then we will to have it carried out. And Krishna is sitting there as a super soul, is noting our desires, just like one can smell the flavor of a flower by smelling it, and then arranges the material nature according to our desire. But we have a choice. If we associate with the modes of ignorance, does anyone know that verse? We're doing a little Bhagavad Gita test here about our association with the material nature, how we meet with good and evil. This is a very important verse. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karna guna sanyasya let me start over again. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karna guna sangosya sar asad yoni janmasu. The living entity thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his contact with those modes, and thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. So our association, just like we've all come here to hear about Krishna. I don't think anyone is forced to come. Did you force anyone to come, Anantapuru? Well, maybe a few of us were forced. You'd have to have another day of Nijala Ekadasi. No, we were forced to come because we choose to come here, just like someone may choose to remain in their bed or go to work or go to the bar or watch television. Everyone has their choice for more or less what they can do, what they don't do. And according to our choice, we turn on, we go to the internet and go to an unwanted site, then we'll be associating with a mode of ignorance. If we go to another site, how to make money, influence people, we'll associate with passion. And if we go out and to the park, Tivoli Park, and smell the flowers, we'll be a little bit in goodness, because we should offer the flowers first to Krishna. And we come to the temple and chant Hare Krishna and hear about Krishna, then we're trying to become transcendental. The activity is transcendental. That's our desire. We've come here to become transcendental. And others, they're using their capacity, desire to be in the material energy. And when they want to be in the material energy, what's the worst thing that happens to them is that they think they're the doer of the activities. There's nothing worse that can happen to us than to identify ourselves with these activities. Why? Because we're in the bodily concept of life, and we're not the body, and therefore we're put into illusion. The other thing is we become responsible for whatever we're doing, good or bad, and that we're simply creating another body. Now a devotee, he thinks differently. And even an aspiring devotee, if they want to come to the spiritual platform, we have to think differently. Now I can quote that verse, and I'm even trying to quote it properly. Naiva kinchit kromiti yukta manyate tatvavet pashan srinvan sprishan jigran ashnanga chan svapan svasan pralapan vichijan grinan umishan in misham api indriyarandiyar teshu vartanda iti daryan. That. What is the translation? Who knows? Who remembers the translation or what approximately it means? Hello? Anyone out there? Hello? I'm here. Yes, what does it mean approximately? Jagannath Sutra.
It says how knowledge acquiring senses and working senses.
Yeah, that's good. That person in the divine consciousness, they'll engage in seeing and hearing and touching and smelling while eating and moving about. And while breathing and, well, actually dreaming and breathing. No, he's always within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while speaking and evacuating and receiving and opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he's aloof from them. So who's the doer? Who's actually doing it? If we're not doing anything, who's doing it all? Any guess? One of the modities? Anandamaya. You can't guess who's doing it all? It's maybe by chance. You think it's chance? The void? The original source of everything, the void, is doing it all? Manipulate. From the void, everything is being manipulated. Take a guess. Who do you think is doing it? No idea. I'll give you a hint. His name begins with a K. Well, we can't let you off the hook so easily. Name someone that begins with a capital K that you think might be the doer. I'll give you another hint. His second one is KR. Krishna! You got it! He's doing it all, but he's not doing it directly. He's doing it from Parashya Shakti Irvi Vidaiva Shuite Subhava Svabhaviki Balakriya Cha. He's doing it through his energies. His Maya Shakti is doing it. Krishna doesn't have to personally do it. He just tells his energies, and they do it. He's also aloof from the whole thing, and just giving people the results of what they're noting, because the material nature can't do it by herself. He empowers and he tells the material energy how to arrange itself, and the material energy does it for him. Or, when one is in Krishna consciousness, then the spiritual energy does it. And what's the difference? Because when we're in spiritual consciousness, and what is spiritual consciousness? What's the difference? One is the knowledge that everything is Krishna's energy. Now, if we don't see it as Krishna's energy, then whose energy will we think it is? And if we don't consciously are aware of the fact that these things are Krishna's energy, or at least I should think, at least the things that are within my, like my arm right now, I'm moving it. And although you may applaud by moving my arm, but I know within myself that actually Krishna is moving the arm. So I know when you're applauding Krishna. So I don't get entangled in the false ego of thinking, yes, what a wonderful way I'm moving my arms. Well, at least I got some applause. If I went to Krishna, I didn't get puffed up. It's all right. So the first thing is everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore, since everything belongs to Krishna, what is the next step is, again, if I'm actually trying to become Krishna conscious, then I have to think, what does Krishna want me to do with his energy? Now, I know he wants me to move my arms because they're so wonderfully moved and attracts everyone, keeps everyone awake. So I don't feel bad if I'm moving my arms. I know it's part of my service to Krishna to move my arms. And I can even make little things here, hypnotize the audience. So I have to find out from Krishna and his representatives what he wants me to do. And then, so we've gone from karma yoga to jnana yoga. Jnana yoga is actually finding out what Krishna wants us to do. We may know so many things, but if we don't know what Krishna wants us to do, then we're completely in ignorance. So real jnana yoga is to know what Krishna wants us to do. When Prabhupada wrote to his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, the thing he asked in his final letter is, what would you like me to do? What service can I do for you? So that's called knowledge, jnana yoga. And then bhakti yoga is we find out, we accept everything belongs to Krishna, we're conscious of it, we do it with care and attention, according to what Krishna's representatives tell us to do, Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, and then we do it to please Krishna. We consciously do it because we have the same interests as Krishna does, and we want Krishna to be pleased. So that's called bhakti yoga. So we have activities, we have knowledge, and ultimately the culmination is trying to please Krishna. And when we're trying to please Krishna, then Krishna embraces us like Prahlad Maharaj. Then there is reciprocation. And we become aware of Krishna. And the more we become aware of Krishna, the less we become attached to the activities of this body. Then the more Krishna takes charge. Does anyone remember where it says that in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna takes charge when one becomes enlightened in Krishna consciousness? Do you remember Adi Purushava? Yes, that also, but there's another where Prabhupada specifically says in one of the Chatur Sloki verses. This is 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 11. Yes, that one. It says, due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. When one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. And then we can see we're not the doer. That's the ultimate goal is Vishnu. The ultimate goal of Vishnu can be obtained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. Pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one becomes a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. So the more we become purified, the more we'll see Krishna takes charge. He takes over our what we think is our activities, which are never our activities anyhow, but he actually, the spiritual energy takes charge of activities, and we simply watch the spiritual energy doing its thing. And of course, we desire, it's not that we give up our desire, but there's a connection between our desire, and we can see our desires when they're completely spiritual, then all the activities are spiritual too. And Krishna arranges. It's not that we become simply a dead instrument, but in one sense, one can also, just like the Madhyama Adhikari, give his mercy, Bhava Kripa Shakti, to others. So the devotee, even if he becomes aloof from all material activities, still he has a capacity to desire, and he can desire to bestow his mercy upon other living entities. So his desire, actually he becomes more conscious, and then he knows how his desire becomes more intense, and Krishna becomes under the devotee's control ultimately, and whatever the devotee desires, Krishna fulfills through his spiritual energy. Is that clear? Of course it's not clear, otherwise it would be Krishna. The point is, we never stop desiring. When we're desiring materially, we get entangled, and on the basis of desire, we find ourselves in conflict with so many other living entities. Basically speaking, that's material existence. And when we desire spiritually, and we become Krishna takes control, then Krishna is always in control of the spiritual energy also. So when we desire spiritually, Krishna comes under our control, and our desires are carried out by Krishna's spiritual energy, and we can benedict so many living entities. We can bless so many living entities with the spiritual energy. Because it's not the living entity who is the preacher, especially, stops desiring or just goes dormant. He doesn't know what's happening. But his desires influence Krishna to fulfill them, and since Krishna fulfills his desires with the spiritual energy, Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Pravartana. Therefore, his desires are carried out by the spiritual Shakti through Krishna's arrangement. And the soul, who is merciful to others, can benedict so many living entities with the spiritual energy. Is that clear? What's that? Well, we're engaged in it. We may be half awake or some percentage awake. But our desire, what we're doing right now, is spiritual. And because it's spiritual, it's benefiting at least ourselves, hopefully, who are here, if we're awake. So those activities are all spiritual, and we're getting some benefit from it. It may not be so powerful that, you know, one of us walked in the room, the whole room lit up like Vaikuntha, and we're in the spiritual world. But we're getting there, gradually, by these activities. By giving up material desire, and accepting spiritual desires, giving up material conceptions and accepting spiritual conceptions. Okay, so I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for delineating the path. Sometimes Krishna doesn't seem to be inclined to take charge for the same person. Sometimes the same person can do very well in Krishna consciousness, and then for no apparent reason, Krishna declines to step in. What could be the, even though it seems to still be Krishna's plan, like for example, the theoretical example, like the Juhu temple fight. So there was a period where it seemed that Krishna doesn't favor this idea of Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada persevered, and then, okay, Krishna took charge. But there is some time when it seems Krishna doesn't want to step in. So how do we know? Is it Krishna's plan or not? And why sometimes Krishna refuses to take charge?
Well, I think Krishna is always in charge.
It just seems to us that he's not.
So we have to, first of all, we have to accept that Krishna is in charge of everything. Not a blade of grass moves without Krishna. And therefore he must have a reason. To delineate what his reason is, I mean, generally speaking, unless there's a fight, unless there's a struggle, our desire doesn't increase. And since he wants to increase our desire more than anything else to serve him, therefore he has to put some obstacles. If everything was so easy, we'd just be, as I said, lying in bed popping grapes in our mouth all the time. trying to buzz our little bell so the prasadam can come in.
No, he has to put some obstacles,
make it a fight, so that our desire increases. Maybe for Prabhupada it was not necessary, but he's part of the Leela, because Prabhupada, he's coming to help so many living entities develop their desire to obtain Krishna. So there has to be something to strive for. He has to engage us. Yes. He has to engage us in his service. And if it was so easy, we wouldn't develop any desire to obtain him, to rely on him.
I have another question about this verse and purport. Here it says that Prahlad Maharaj was not even aware of his surroundings and his bodily needs, and they were taken care of automatically. And I have seen, and I think you have seen, some devotees who also neglect totally the surroundings and their bodily needs and seem to be engaged in devotional service, but very, or, I mean, sometimes they end up just being very sick and bitter.
Yes, because they're not under the spiritual energy. They're doing it under the material energy. They're engaged in devotional service, so there's some spiritual aspect there. But as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, austerity, that those who, in the divine and demoniac nature, I once wrote to Srila Prabhupada about that. I asked him a question about this. Torture the material elements. I wonder if it's in the 17.5. Shastravitam guram tapyante te tapo jana tambahankara samyukta kamaraga balanvitaha karshanya takshriristam putagrama machetasa mam chaivantakshriristam tanvidyasaram nishtrayam. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. So we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do, not artificially put our bodies, which belong to Krishna, in difficult situations, without the sanction of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra and the super soul within, or else Krishna becomes unhappy. We're not pleasing him that way. Yes.
I have one more question about the Gita verse you quoted, that we are not doing anything. Akyani thinks I'm not doing anything. Sometimes we may be accused that a criminal will like this verse a lot. He will say, yeah, I'm killing, but I'm not killing. I'm not doing anything.
That's right. You're not killing. Where are you going to get the reaction for what your activities are? You might be killing anyone, but you'll have to come back and supposedly not be killed either. You don't have to get the reaction, right? Because you're not doing it. If you don't do it, if you don't serve Krishna, you serve Maya, then you have to get the reaction for it. Maybe you're so kind, you're giving the reaction for some other living entity, so he gets free from his reaction. But you're so kind that you're accepting a reaction for such activity. You continue on with your illusory leela in the material world. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.